front-end development for the first time in my career.
User experience design.
I'm a back-end developer. I mainly work with Drupal.
Welcome to Behind the Screens, where we go beyond the code and into the community. We interview people from all realms of the open source universe to find out what's hot right now, share some hardships and headaches, give a little advice, and learn about the people behind the screens. I'm your host, Chris Albrecht. Let's dive in. Behind the Screens is made possible by Lullabot. Lullabot is a strategy design and development company where we turn great content into captivating user experiences. Find us on Twitter at Lullabot or in your browser at lullabot.com. We'd love to meet you.
On this episode, we're going behind the screens with Wampy. Wampy, you've worked at Lullabot for a number of years now. Tell us a little bit about yourself, for example, your full name, which I still have trouble pronouncing, and what it's like to be a Lullabot.
Hi everyone. Yes, my full name is Juan Pablo, but it's Juan Pablo is too formal. Since I'm very little, everybody calls me Juanpi, and I just like to be called that way. My mom calls me Juan Pablo every once in a while when she's upset. I've been working for Lullabot for almost 5 years. I'm a backend developer, and I mainly work with Drupal. I do some. I also love doing some DevOps on the side as well, and sometimes I do some JavaScript as well.
So 5 years at Lullabot doing primarily backend work. What sorts of projects are you on now? Are you working in Drupal 8 yet?
Yes. I think I've been almost a year and a half already. I've been working with
Super Awesome Client
along with other Lullabots. And so what we're doing there is that they have a central team, and this team, we maintain a set of modules that the
Super Awesome Client
brands, each brand being a TV channel in most of the cases, they have a Drupal site and they use the modules we maintain. So it's funny because I do a lot of Drupal 8 development, but it's the brands that maintain the sites. We don't maintain sites, we maintain modules. So it's a funny scenario because it's not a typical case where you have a Drupal 8 site and you do deployments and updates. No, it's more you deal with code every day and you give advice to brands. So there's a lot of research involved in there too.
Interesting. So in your development in these modules that you've been working on, what is one of the most difficult things that you've come across working with Drupal 8?
Initially, it was database updates, especially the ones where you need to run some code and maybe also import some configuration in a certain order. I remember that I got this pretty much figured out in Drupal 7, but in Drupal 8, a few things changed. So I had to catch up and do quite a bit of research and try and an error. I'm right now at a place where I think I understand what I have to do whenever I have to write a database update. And I think that I'm realizing now that there's also a chance here to maybe improve the documentation about this with some how-tos, or maybe write articles. I really like writing articles, so I may write something about this too.
That's excellent. And I can say from personal experience, I have learned a lot by reading your articles.
Oh,
so
thanks.
I would very much love to hear what you have to say about the database updates. I don't have as much Drupal 8 experience. If you could give one piece of advice to a Drupal developer like me who's learning Drupal 8, what would it be?
Use PHP Storm.
This coming from the man who recently used exclusively Vim.
Yeah.
So what changed your mind? Why PHP Storm?
For a while, I've been using Vim because I love it. I love the fact that I don't have to move my hands out of the keyboard. So with Drupal 7, I was fine with Vim, but with Drupal 8, I went through a process where because of its strong object orientation, I realized that I needed something more, especially browsing through inheritance and interfaces and things like that. You can do this in Vim, but it's not as efficient as with PHP Storm. There's also a learning factor there in which PHP Storm is able to suggest things like, I don't know, what methods are available in the class you're working on, whether the method you're writing has an interface in that class, has an interface that defines how that method should work. Things like that. Well, and there are also many other plugins that can help you, not just with PHP, but also with, for example, YAML files. This PHP Storm, if you put it that, if I, the way I put it, it's like a learning tool for Drupal 8. Like, it can really help you to discover what's available when you're working in a Drupal 8 project. So I highly encourage everybody to at least give it a trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. Even in Drupal 7 sites, I found it very useful, like for the code completion, like you suggested. So that's a very good tip. What is something that you're not working on right now, but you would really like to be working on?
Site deployments. Because that's what I don't have every day at work. We, as I said, we maintain modules, we don't do deployments, and deployments are fun. Like, I used to enjoy a lot doing them, preparing them. Like, I remember that I wrote an article like a month ago that it was a successful one-click deployment. This is on the Lullabot blog. And the thing is that I was one of the persons, the people in charge for the Drupal Camp Spain website. We had the event this year in my city a few weeks ago. And that was my chance to maintain a site and do deployments and really put a process in place, not just in the deployment, but also in the development process, where we could also test deployments. And I had a lot of fun. These are things that then I used that a
super awesome client
to give advice to the brand. So I learned a lot with it. But I know there is still more room for learning there. So I would like to do more of that.
If you woke up tomorrow and there was no more internet, what would you do?
I used to think sometimes that what would happen if there was no more internet. I asked myself this question, and until like 2-3 years ago, the straight answer would be, oh, I would become a golf teacher, because I used to compete in golf, and I didn't become a professional, but I could have, and I know I could take back, and in a short period of time I could become a professional and therefore give classes. But I don't play golf at all nowadays, so that wouldn't fulfill me. So I think that I would give English classes back home, because I've seen friends who I learned English with when I lived in the UK, and now they are back to Spain, and they do that, and they are really happy. So I think I would do that.
I think you would be excellent at that. I could take an English class from you and probably still learn some things, I bet. You live in Madrid. Mm-hmm. Now you've just actually moved a little bit outside of Madrid, up into the mountains a bit.
Yep.
So I'm coming through and I have 24 hours to spend with you. What do we do?
I think I would make the most of those 24 hours, because I'd like to show you first downtown, Madrid downtown, and then take you to my village. Downtown, like, look, we could put it this way. We could first go downtown to just have some tapas, walk around, visit a museum or two that I really like. There is a place called La Tabacalera that I took our colleague Joe Schindler there, that is crazy. And I love to visit, and I love to take people there just to see their faces, because it's a really weird place. Basically, yeah, have food, have a nice food. Hopefully, weather is normally really good in Madrid, so it's a good place to walk around and get lost. And then later on, I'd like to take you to my village, Tercedilla, because it's in the middle of the woods. It's just 1 hour away from Madrid by bus, or if you're driving, it's even less. And it's really green, and there's lots of mountains there. So it's a good shock between the noise of Madrid and the relax that you can feel in this village. So you would get the best of both worlds. I actually did this recently with Mike Kershaw, one of our Lolabot friends. He came to DrupalCamp Spain, and we did DrupalCamp in Madrid downtown. And then as soon as DrupalCamp finished, I took him back to this village, and we did some hiking there, and we also had some nice food, and it was great.
That sounds excellent. You and I are very much the same when it comes to how we want to go out and enjoy the town, I think.
Nice.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Nice.
Working with Lolabot, we're a distributed company, which means we have employees all over the world. We don't have an office anywhere. So once or twice a year, we get together for a staff retreat. And you've had the luxury of doing this a number of times now and visiting the United States. What is the thing that you look forward to the most about visiting the United States?
Oh, spending time with you guys.
Oh, that's the easy one.
I know. But the thing is that, and this is something that I tell a lot back home. The fact that we don't see each other every day, I think it's the reason why it's so much fun when we spend time together. Because I've worked in co-located offices before, and it wasn't as fun. It's funny how I feel that I know my fellow Lolabots way more than any of other co-worker I had before in previous jobs, whether it was a distributed company or not. So whenever we come here, I love spending time with everybody. Yeah. Honestly, if it sounds easy, that's the point. Like, I'm here to spend time with you guys. So yes.
Yeah, and I completely agree. It is. It's an amazing thing. So keeping in the vein of Lolabots and our core values and sharing, is there a person or a group or an organization that has helped you with something recently or that you would like to express thanks or gratitude to?
Yes. The president of Lolabot, Matt Westgate, he is one of the most humble and transparent persons I've ever met in my life. I'm still shocked whenever we have these big meetings where it's not every day that all the whole company is within under the same roof. And you can feel that he speaks from his heart on what are his fears about the company, what gets him excited about the company, what sort of things are going through his head. Well, that things that are he's not even sure about, but he wants to share them and get feedback because he knows he's going to get support from us. And it's good because it creates a good dynamic. It makes you to open yourself as well and be vulnerable. And I think that's the heart of Lolabot. So I really appreciate it. It really makes me feel very comfortable when I'm here at the retreats.
I will second that sentiment. Well, thank you, Wampy. It's been great having you on this episode.
Great to be here.
And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Sure. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Behind the Screens. If you have ideas for questions or segments, or if you're organizing a camp or an event and you would like to promote it, or if you just have some cool stuff you want to share, tweet us at Lolabot or drop me an email at chris@lolabot.com. Also, if you're liking the podcast, don't forget to go onto iTunes and give us a rating and a review. Until next time.